The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
We worship in spirit and in truth. This is our prayer, and it's truly in Jesus' name, for Christ's sake, that we pray. Let every heart say amen. 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 You remember what I said, to this is a dress rehearsal of the things that are to come. But yet, while we're on this side of time, we are in some trying times, and we know that there are times when sometimes our spirits are weighed down. But God says, I'm here, and I hear you. Amen? If you're physically able to stand, we're going to ask that you would do so as we read the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 is from whence the word of God will come. Verses 1 through 7. Revelation 2, 1 through 7. The King James Version of the Bible says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Today, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to conclude our subject, where do we go from here? Chaos or community? Chaos or community? You may be seated in the presence of our God. Last week, if you were here, you remember that we discussed that this phrase, where do we go from here, is a phrase used for asking what someone can do next in a particular situation, especially in a difficult one. If someone says, where do we go from here, they are asking what should be done next. Usually because a problem has not been solved in a satisfactory way. In other words, given the present situation, what should we do next? What options remain or are available to us? I also shared that the subject title I actually borrowed from a book that I have, Where Do We Go From Here, Chaos or Community? It's a book written by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. back in 1967, and it was Dr. King's fourth and last book before his assassination. While there were some details that I shared from the book pointing out some statements that Dr. King made back in 1967 about the State of the Union then that are still prevalent today, but I also stated that this series was not from nor what is it about the book itself. There was, however, a provocative thought that Dr. King's conclusion on page 202 of the book that caught my attention and resonated in my spirit. The statement was, we are now faced with the fact that tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now. In this unfolding conundrum of life and history, there is such a thing as being too late. Procrastination is still the thief of time. Life often leaves us standing bare, naked, and dejected with a lost opportunity. This may well be mankind's last chance to choose between chaos or community. And from there, I began building this message, and I mentioned that people often ask, how can you know where you're going if you don't know where you've been? I shared three notable quotes from three notable African Americans echoing the same sentiment. I shared a quote from Maya Angelou, an African American poet, singer, and civil rights activist. I shared a quote from James Baldwin, an African American novelist, essayist, playwright, and a poet as well. I also shared a quote from Dr. Carter G. Woodson, an African American historian, author, journalist, and the founder of the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. And so, as a result of that question, how do you know where you're going if you don't know where you've been? I began to delve into the history of Black History Month. You'd be surprised how many people don't know the history of Black History Month and who still bemoan the fact that Black History Month is actually in the shortest month of the year, and they think it's a conspiracy theory. Well, the problem is we haven't taken time to learn our own history about Black History Month. Now, I won't repeat that this day, this morning, but I will encourage you to see our media team for the CD or visit our website to download our podcast to hear those enlightening details. But in that history, you'll eventually hear how it was President Gerald Ford who made Black History Month official in 1976. Actually, it was on February the 10th, 1976, that Gerald Ford brought Black History Month into existence with the following statement. Quote, he says, in the bicentennial year of our independence, we can review with admiration the impressive contributions of Black Americans to our national life and culture. 100 years ago, to help highlight these achievements, Dr. Carter G. Woodson founded the Association for the Study of Afro-American Life and History. We are grateful to him today for his initiative, and we are richer for the work of his organization. Freedom and the recognition of individual rights are what our revolution was all about, end quote. So I then began talking about the history of the proverbial Black church. Again, you'd be surprised how many folk don't know what people mean when they refer to the Black church. A lot of times they think it has only the things to do with Black people, and certainly it's predominantly made up of African Americans. But I won't take the time to repeat that either. But again, I want to encourage you to see our media team for the CD or download our podcast to hear those enlightening details as well. But because you're going to understand that it will include what does it mean and who does it refer to when we talk about the Black church? What and who exactly makes up the Black church? Again, I believe there's a short snippet up on our screen, but you'll hear the answer to that question in more detail in last week's message. You're going to hear how the Black church was born in the slavery. It was reared in the segregation and discrimination, but nowadays people are asking and debating the question, is the Black church alive, irrelevant, or dead? And I asked them last week a rhetorical question, and I'll ask you the same question. What do you think? Is the Black church alive, irrelevant, or dead? That's really the broader question of my subject. Where do we go from here? Chaos or community? In other words, given the present situation, what should we do next? What options remain or are available to us? Then I began actually closing last week's message, building up to today, setting the conclusion for this week. And I brought up a thought that was in another book that I read, written by W.E.B. Du Bois, wrote the book back in 1903, and the title of the book was called The Souls of Black Folk. And in that book, Du Bois begins his argument by declaring the problem of the 20th century is the problem of the color line. And he repeats that statement several times throughout the book. He says the problem of the 20th century is the problem of the color line. The term color line was used in reference to the racial segregation that existed in the United States after the abolition of slavery. The divide between races is often invisible, but it also is sometimes physical. And from a purely sociological perspective, we can say today that the problem of the 21st century is still the problem of the color line. Racial segregation, discrimination, separation, etc. But with regard to the church, it is still said that Sunday is still one of the most segregated days of the week. Amen. And with regard to the church, specifically the black church, and the hot debate over the question that I raised earlier, is the black church alive, irrelevant, or dead? The Holy Spirit spoke into my spirit, and he asked me to speak into your mind and spirit as well, is that what is being lost in those debates? What is being lost in those discussions about the relevancy and or the place of the black church, and even the discussions about the declining moral fabric of our society? What's missing in those discussions is the spiritual perspective. And I ended last week with this thought, something for you to think about and for me as we came back for today to hear the conclusion. I said, you know, we hear a lot that we are changing world and that we have to adapt to that changing world. And I tell you, I totally agree and I completely understand. As a matter of fact, I stood here in the pulpit. I am very much open to change. But while you can change the carpet, you can change the pew, you can change an order of service, you can change the style of music, you can change the style of dress, what doesn't change is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only thing, the one main thing that we can't forget to make the main thing of the church of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to help any of us, young, middle age, or senior. It's the message of Jesus Christ. What's the message of Jesus Christ? His birth, his life, his being crucified, his shed blood, his burial, and his resurrection. That's it. That doesn't change. Yes, while churches, particularly the black church, struggle, as African Americans and millennials leave or they migrate to the so-called suburbs. Amen. And yes, while we do face the problem of the color line, stark racial divide still in the year 2019, the one line that the Holy Spirit wants me to shed some light on is the love line. Every now and then you hear somebody say, you wonder why people are leaving certain churches and folk are trying to figure out how to get folk back. And the reason why some folk are leaving because they don't feel any love. Amen. They don't feel any love. The love line is that divide or that barrier as stated here in Revelations chapter 2:2-4. Jesus says, he says, I know. I know all the things that you do. He said, I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You've examined the claims of those who say that they are apostles, but are not. You've discovered that they're liars. You patiently suffered for me without quitting. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. The New Living Translation translates verse 4 like this: but I have this complaint against you. Watch this. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Verse 5 says, look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. Where do we go from here? Chaos or community? The conclusion. Again, Dr. King stated, we are now faced. As I read this, keep this in perspective. When he wrote this, it was 1967. Some of you were alive then, you know what it was like back then. I had yet to be born. Some of you here at the sound of my voice had yet to be born. But in 1967, Dr. King said, we are now faced with the fact that tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now. Do me a favor, write down the word now. If you do something now and you turn that word around, tell me what words you get and I'm going to keep reading. He says, we are confronted with the fierce urgency of now. In this unfolding conundrum of life and history, there is such a thing as being too late. In other words, if you don't act now, then you can't turn it around because you can't win. There's no one. He says, life often leaves us standing bare, naked, and dejected with a lost opportunity. This may well be mankind's last chance to choose between chaos or community. When we examine, going back to the word, when we examine John's letter to the church of Ephesus, we find some interesting similarities between the church of Ephesus and the black church of America. Lord, help me to stand tall. The first thing that we notice is that the Lord says, I know thy works and labors and patience. We can be assured that God knows and he sees the works and the efforts extended by the black church. He takes note of our gratitude. He knows that we have worked long hours under some of the most difficult situations. He knows our work of faith, our labor of love, and our patience of hope in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Over the years, we have been busy working hard in the areas of evangelism, spreading the gospel to generations after generation, in the area of mission, by visiting the sick and the shut-in, and by offering religious instructions about love, forgiveness, grace, mercy. We've told and retold the old story about God's love for humanity. I think I heard it quoted early today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have been busy in civil matters such as the abolition or the abolishment of slavery, the civil rights movement, voting rights, education, injustices, women's rights, family life, community life, etc. Down through the years, not only has the black church been involved in intercessory prayer, it has also been involved in intercessory service. Rest assured, the Lord sees and knows our works. We have come a mighty long way. But I need to let you know, we still got a mighty long way to go. As technology grows, the African American community is getting further and further behind. As education becomes vital to the success of our young people, the black church must be involved in intercessory education. As drugs are sweeping the black community and our young black kids are going to the jail campus more than going to college campuses, the black church must be involved in the intercessory intervention and intercessory rehabilitation. Simply put, the black church must continue to stand in the gap. We must stand in the gap for single mothers. We must stand in the gap for the elderly. The youth today have a growing lack of concern, indifference, lack of interest in the development of themselves, let alone their own community. And the black church must continue to stand in the gap. Yes, the black church has come a mighty, 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 mighty long way. But I've come to let you know that we still got a mighty, mighty, mighty long way to go. Because as with the works of the Ephesus church, so it is with the black church. Because not only must our ends be excellent, but the means which we reach those ends must also be excellent. Thus I hear the Lord saying to us, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. In other words, you don't love me or each other like you used to. I hear people saying over and over again, time and time again, they say times have changed. People have changed. People don't love like they used to. And we say that over and over again. People don't love like they used to. Church is not like it used to be. And my question is, then what are we doing about that change? What are we doing about that downward slide? Note with me, here's the teaching. Note with me what the Lord says. See, we read this all the time. We got a lot of good Bible readings, and we got some wisdom, but guess we got to get today, Brown? We got to get understanding. Got to get some understanding. Watch the text. He says, you have left that first love. He didn't say you've lost your love. Come on, somebody. He said, thou hast left thy first love. The first love of the church is not misplaced. Come on, somebody. Mm-mm. The church has chosen that which is not love. In other words, he's saying our love has waxed cold. Our motivation has shifted. Our incentive comes from another source, and the wind beneath our wings is neither the love of God nor the love of neighbor. Help me to stand tall, Lord. Despite all of the good that the church of Ephesus had done, they had left their first love. This can be described as a sad departure. And the black church stands on the threshold of that same sad departure. See, if you remember church back in the day, even in the church of Acts, it was full of love. It was full of camaraderie. See, back in the day, before we had all this stuff, all this technology, all we had was each other. We knew Jesus, and we had each other. Amen. Here's the distinction between leaving and losing. Amen. You see, there's a distinction between leaving love and losing love. It's an important distinction. If you're taking notes, write this down. Because something can be lost, which is by accident. But when you leave, leaving is a deliberate act. I'll say it again. I said the distinction between leaving and losing love is important. Because something can be lost quite by accident. But leaving is a deliberate act. You see, when you lose something, you don't know where to find it. When you lost something, you don't know, you have no idea. Walking around, you hoping. See, when you lose something, you don't know where to find it. But when you leave something, you do know where to find it. And you know exactly where you left it. You ever been in a relationship and threatened somebody, I'm about to leave, yo. And you're going to leave they, right where they are. You know where they are. You know where they are mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially. Yeah, I'm about to leave, yo. Now, this, I said it last week. This ain't no we lost that love and feeling. No, no. Whoa. Love and feeling. There's a difference. When you lose something, you don't know where to find it. You got to watch the text. But when you leave something, you do know where to find it, and you know exactly where you left it. Here's what Paul wrote. Here's what Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, we love to call chapter 13 the love chapter. But let's read it in the Living Bible translation. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verses 1 through 3, watch this. He says, if I had the gift of being able to speak in other languages without learning them and could speak in every language there is in all of heaven and earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making noise. If I had the gift of prophecy and knew all about what's going to happen in the future, knew everything about everything, you know anybody like that in church? But didn't love others, what good would it do? Even if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, we just talked about that, I would still be worth nothing at all without love. If I gave everything that I have to poor people, and if I were burned alive for preaching the gospel but didn't love others, it would be of no value whatever. Brothers and sisters, without love, this is all in vain. Listen, you might be able to boast about all your time, your talents, and your treasure that you've given, all your labor, your blood, your sweat, and your tears. But if you don't love others, or if you have stopped loving others, then all of that would be of no value whatever. God says to the church of Ephesus back in Revelation, he says, you have patiently suffered for me without quitting. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Listen, the church of Ephesus in Revelation, back in Revelation, watch this. When you leave your love, your first love, who of course is Christ, then you leave your reason for existence. And when a church has left love, or when that love grows cold, they've left their very reason for existence. You leave love, you leave it all. You can't leave love and still have good church. That's the problem. Too many folk are seeking good church, and they've stopped seeking Christ. You leave love, you leave it all. You can't have it both ways. There's some churches still holding church that God has left. First of all, because he's going to set up and dwell where he's welcomed. He said he sets up and dwells in the praises of his people. He's not going to bust through the house, not when he's the same one that knocks at the door of a heart waiting for it to be opened. Mm-mm. You leave love, you leave it all. Remember, leaving is a deliberate act. So what did they leave? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Start at the first verse. Fourth verse, it says, love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, nor boastful or proud. Watch this. Never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It's not irritable or touchy. I'm in the Living Bible translation. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. If you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. Verse 8 says, all the special gifts and powers from God will someday come to an end, but love goes on forever. Drop down to verse 11. He says it's like this. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child does. But when I became a man, my thoughts grew far beyond those of my childhood. And now I have put away childish things. Verse 13 says, these are the three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. I declare, as a people, and now just really as a church universal, that we must go back. We must go back to the altar. We must fall down on our knees and go back to our first love, the love of Christ. Back in our text of Revelation 2, and I'm almost through, the Lord tells us two things. He says, first, remember. The first thing you and I need to do is remember. That's what Black History Month does for us. That's why Dr. Carter G. Woodson saw the need for this month. Listen, remember where you were and who brought you with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Remember who it was that picked you up when you were on your lowest low, when you were down. Remember who was your friend when you thought yourself to be friendless. Growing up, I remember people praying, dear Lord, take me back to the place where I first believed. Brothers and sisters, we can never forget from whence we've come and who has brought us safe thus far. But the second thing the Lord says in that text is, he says, repent. Repent means you're going to have to turn away from and turn towards. He deliberately said repent because remember, he had already said that they had left thy first love. That was deliberate. That means they left him to go towards something else. He's saying, so repent, turn away from that and turn back toward me. Brothers and sisters, as a universal body of Christ, a universal body of believers, we're going to have to turn away from the lures of the world and turn toward the God of our weary years. Turn away from the false gods of hope and success and turn towards the God of our silent tears. Where do we go from here? In other words, given this present situation, what should we do next? What options remain? What options are available? I'll tell you what they are. Chaos or community. Confusion or community. And I can tell you that the Lord himself said, I'm not the author of confusion. But again, when I think about that question, where do we go from here, chaos or community, again, there's so many debates, and we get so emotional. We're just an emotional people, and everybody wants to give their own personal feelings because, of course, that's what lines up for them. But we got to go back to the Word of God. So again, I refer you back to the words that Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, this time in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1b through verse 3. So when you ask, where do we go from here, chaos or community, here's what Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. He says, on this question, everyone feels that only his answer is the right one. But although being a know-it-all makes us feel important, what is really needed to build the church is love. I'm in the Word of God. If anyone thinks he knows all the answers, he's just showing his ignorance. But the person who truly loves God is the one who is open to God's knowledge. What does the Lord want us to do? How would the Lord want us to treat one another? So again, as I close and we get ready to open the doors of the church, I thought about it. Individually, he's asking each of us, where do we go from here? And in Revelation 2, verse 7, it says this, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I don't know about you, but to answer to the question for me, where do we go from here, chaos or community, is right there in verse 7. It's right there in verse 7. We often say, you know, folk who want to argue whether they got to be in and out the church, that's fine. They say the church is in us. We're the church. Well, guess what? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, big S, saith unto the churches. Guess what? That means he's talking to who? Me and you. So for me, personally, I have to ask myself, I have to hear what the Spirit is saying to me regarding my love for him and my love for others. So I got to ask, what about you? Because I don't know about you, but I want to go to be a part of the community where he says, to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I want to be a part of that's community. That's not chaos. Chaos is going in the other direction. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the praise. The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.